The NBA trade deadline was amazing. Even if Anthony Davis did not move, it was amazing. So I'm anxious to have this conversation. We're joined right now by somebody who covers the NBA for the New York Times, a Cal State Fullerton and Big West Conference legend. Mark Stein is my guest. Great to have you back, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm awake. I'm alive. I made it.
I hear you. You made it through a trade deadline.
To the other side.
I know, right? You're like a lot of guys who are sweating the trade deadline. You did your work.
Man,
you got your grind on.
We are such. It is the greatest. We have nothing to complain about. We are lucky that everybody hangs on every move. And we had more than 20 in the last week. Good times.
Best times. All right. So Anthony Davis was not somebody who moved. When you look at the situation involving Davis, the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Celtics, what kind of general thoughts do you have right now?
You know, the Pelicans held firm, and I think they had to. There was enough conversation at the start of the week that I thought, wow, is it? Maybe they just want to move on. Maybe they would just say, you know what, let's just get out from under this cloud and do something with the Lakers. But no, they did the right thing. And look, sometimes from a basketball perspective, there's no one in the basketball side of things that would have wanted to do something now. They know it's best to wait, but you never know how ownership's going to feel. You never know if ownership's going to say, let's move on. Our fans want to move on. Let's just do the best we can. But it turns out that, you know, the Pelicans ownership is NFL ownership. And, you know, they kind of had the same thing. Let's wait. We're not going to give the Lakers what they want. We're not going to give Anthony Davis what he wants. And the reality is waiting is the smart thing because it just broadens their options, and they will have better options come June and really come May. Once we know the lottery, things will start happening. Once we know the lottery order.
Mark Stein joining us. I hear exactly what you just said. Let me ask you this a different way. Was there any way for the Lakers to handle that situation any differently so they would have ended up with Davis before the deadline, or was that just not going to happen?
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything they could have offered there, because, you know, one of the funniest things is when it came out at some point that, you know, the Lakers somehow leaked something along the lines of if the Pelicans don't take this, we're moving on to other targets. You're not moving on.
Sure you're not.
And everybody knows you're not moving on to other targets. There's nothing except Zubac now, who they can't include Zubac because they traded him to the Clippers, but there's nothing that the Lakers could have offered this week that won't be there for the Pelicans later. They need Anthony Davis desperately, and everybody knows it. So that's why it made sense for the Pelicans to wait.
Mark Stein's an NBA reporter for the New York Times. So, Mark, when you look at what Boston has to offer New Orleans in terms of talent and picks, exactly how does L.A. compete with that?
Well, here's the thing. Boston can certainly beat them. And look, if the Knicks win the lottery, which, again, is not a great chance. Even if they have the worst record, they're only going to have a 14% chance at it, just like the other teams in the bottom three. But let's just say the Knicks win the lottery and now have the chance to draft Zion, six other first-round picks in the next 5 years, and some pretty decent young players like Kevin Knox and Ntilikina. They just got Dennis Smith. If the Pelicans decide they like any of those guys, the Knicks will become a factor in this thing. But the question, I'm looking at it differently. My question is, I would love to get inside the head of Danny Ainge, because we all say Danny Ainge is a gambler. Danny Ainge would trade his son if he had to. We all say Danny Ainge would do anything, but will he really do anything for Anthony Davis? Davis is adamant that he's not signing a long-term deal there. And I know people will say, KG said the same thing. KG didn't want to play in Boston. Paul Pierce helped talk KG into that. Is Danny Ainge really going to trade everything? Is he going to give up Tatum for a year and a half, for a season of Anthony Davis? And then the other question is Anthony Davis really as firm about not wanting to play in Boston as all the signals we've gotten so far? So there are other elements to the equation besides, do the Lakers have any chance to beat Boston's best offer? The Celtics got to think about this. This isn't, to me, this is not a no-brainer.
I could not agree more. That's my favorite aspect of this whole thing. I mean, he's made it very clear he does not want to be there, but is it possible? Like, if Kyrie is, we know AD and Kyrie are tight. Is it possible or even likely that it turns into another Paul George scenario where he stays there for a year and decides he likes it? How possible is that?
And the Celtics are one of those teams that usually has the confidence to say, we will bet on that. Boston's a team like that. Oklahoma City just did it, like you mentioned. Houston is a team like that. The Mavericks just did it with Porzingis. You know, Porzingis gave the Knicks a list of four teams he wanted to go to. We reported that earlier this week. The Mavs were not on that list. Dallas did the trade anyway. So there are teams out there that are willing to do that. And again, Danny Ainge is about as fearless as it comes. And maybe he will say, we're going to do it. We're going to put all our chips in. We're going to get Anthony Davis here, and there's no way he's leaving Boston once he gets a taste of what it's like to play for the Celtics. But that is, are you allowed to say ballsy on the radio?
Yes.
That is a ballsy move to do that, to put all your chips in there, because they've got, you know, because if you do it, you can't undo it. So they better be sure. They better be sure. And that thing, they can't be sure. They better be confident that they can keep that guy.
You know, it's ballsy saying ballsy on the radio. You're right, though. That's a brass
is
move.
Is that allowed? I don't know. I hope I didn't get
it. No, it is. We're good. You're good. I'm good. You know, when you look at all the moves, Mark Stein joins us. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. When you look at all the moves in the East, Mark, trades by Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, if you had to pick one team to come out of the East right now, who would it be? Or is that impossible? And so you see how these pieces all fit together for three of the four big teams in the East.
I mean, it is impossible, but we don't have radio shows to say no comment. So I still think Boston can come out of that group. Just again, it hasn't looked great for them, but they do have a continuity edge over the other three teams. I mean, Milwaukee, Mirotić is really going to help them. I mean, he is perfect for them. But let's also be honest, the Bucks haven't been there. It's going to be totally new territory for them. And teams that shoot the three as much as they do, does that, you know, that in the playoffs there's going to be skepticism. Can the Bucks really win in the playoffs relying on so many outside shooters? Or, you know, besides obviously Giannis lives at the rim, but the other guys, you're really, you know, they got to make shots, and those shots get more difficult in the playoffs when the pressure's on and teams have more time to prepare for you defensively. Philadelphia obviously has a great ceiling, but they've got 25 games to get a chemistry. And look, we've seen before they got Tobias Harris, at their best, they can win in Golden State, but there's been ups and downs just bringing in Jimmy Butler. So I still, and Toronto is really interesting, and Gasol is such a great team player. I have to think he's going to help them, but there are fit questions there. You know, what does this mean for Ibaka now? So I'm not ready to write off Boston's chances of coming out of the East, but here, just the fact that it's going to be so good at the East, at the top of the East, it's so badly what this league needs right now, because there's this big conversation about, it's all about trades, it's all about transactions, this is all people care about. The basketball has to be really good to make us care about the basketball. And the Warriors are such overwhelming favorites in the West. We need a great Eastern Conference playoffs. We need those four teams to beat each other up. And we need someone good to come out of the East and give the Warriors a series, or we're just going to stay focused on trades and free agency. So I'm just hopeful that whoever comes out of the East, that we get a good Eastern Conference playoff.
And I think you're right. I think you've got some major players in the East that are going to beat the hell out of each other, and somebody's going to come out of that, and I think they're going to be a factor. I'm not going to say that anybody coming out of the East is the team to beat over Golden State, because we know that's not true. Really quickly, Mark, before you go, what did you make of Kevin Durant and the way that played out? You know, KD didn't have much to say for the better part of 7 days or 9 days, and then when he finally did have something to say, he had a little something for the media. I know you saw those comments. What did you make of that as you watched that play out?
I was surprised that he was that angry, but look, it was an honest reaction in a real-time moment, and it happens, and, you know, the story that night was not free agency. He made it a story by not talking for 9 days. That's why it became an issue. Now, is he tired of all the speculation? I'm sure he is. But, you know, to me, that was a rare bad moment from a guy who generally is as accessible as any star in this league is today. So I'm not, you know, I don't look at it as some heinous thing that he owes forgiveness to. And look, this is the way it is. There's a give and take, and there's times that guys get mad at the media, and there's times that we get frustrated with the athletes we cover. I mean, it happens. So, I mean, I wasn't so bent out of shape by it, but I was surprised. I mean, he really let loose. and I think the Warriors were surprised. I don't think they expected it either.
No, I agree. I'm not offended by that. I think that maybe even he maybe would like to have that back, or maybe he wouldn't. But you're right. He actually is one of the more accessible superstars in that league or any league. But it's going to wear on guys, and he's got a few more months of that to be sure. Mark Stein, Cal State Fullerton and Big West Conference legend. One thing, Mark, before you go. So Dell Demps, I thought, had himself a day. It has not been easy. He does not have an easy job now being where he is. And I thought that he worked and played the Lakers and is a Big West guy myself. And I know you're a Big West guy. You got to like that. I tweeted out a video. Our guy, Seth Greenberg, who's also a Big West guy or Big West roots, jumped in there and reminded me, come on, Rome, how do you not mention Long Beach State? And Seth actually tweeted, quote, "We won the game and we won the fight." I don't know about you. I just like the Big West. And all these guys, you, me, Dell, Seth, have all gone on to other things, Brian Shaw. I just like that we have not forgotten our roots. You're proud of your Big West roots, aren't you?
I thought you were doing it to him just like the Pelicans were doing it to the Lakers. I thought you were intentionally trying to get into his head, and it worked. You intentionally left him out, and look what happened. You got a reaction. It was beautiful.
No, Seth. We go way back. Seth, he said that with a smile on his face, but he did want to remind me, we won the game and we won the fight. And I know exactly what he's talking about. They did win the game and they did win the fight. However, don't forget about the Big West, Mark. I don't care how many followers you have, bro.
Conversations with him never end well, so you did better than me.
It'll come around. You know how it is. These things all come around, right? Just, it's a war of attrition. Wait it out. It will come around. You know that, Mark. You know that.
Well, Dell Demps must feel like he's going 1-on-5 against Vintage Vegas with this thing, because it is, and the Pelicans still got a lot to figure out here, but they did the right thing.
He may be going 1-on-5, but he just dropped 40-on-5, so good for him. Mark Stein covering the NBA for the New York Times, and he is all over all of it. Mark, great to have you back. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Be good.
Be good. Mark Stein, let me tell you something. Big West, baby. Don't you mess with the Big West.